Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. On today's episode, we have an interview with Kevin Massey from the Three Musketeers, now playing at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. He will be talking to Joe Stead about the show, and it's definitely an interview you do not want to miss. Also, we have an audio review of the Three Musketeers. And of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax, and get ready to talk some theater.
Happy New Year, and welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago's podcast. My name is Joe Stead. I'm a critic for Stead Style Chicago, and I'm very honored to have as my special guest for our first broadcast of the new year, Kevin Massey, who is the star of Chicago Shakespeare Theater's world premiere musical, The Three Musketeers. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Thank you. Kevin, I've read a little bit about your bio, and first of all, congratulations on the coup of having a major role in such a high-profile production, world premiere musical with one of the most respected theaters in the world. How did this come about for you?
Well, it was a bit of a surprise. I was in New York doing Tarzan and planning to be there for a while, and an audition came up through my agent, and I thought, okay, well, I'll go to meet them. And I didn't know anything about the project at the time. I didn't know much about the theater either. But I thought, and it's always good to go in and audition and have a good time and meet somebody, and who knows what will happen. And that's exactly what happened. The whole creative team was there, minus George Stiles, I believe. And the audition went really well. And then all of a sudden, I had this great dilemma on my hands. I had a great role in Chicago versus a role that I already had. So through just different negotiations and talks with friends, and I decided this was absolutely where I wanted to be, and I'm so glad I did.
How long of a process was it before you actually, from start to finish, and you got the part?
I think maybe about 2 to 3 weeks.
It's pretty quick.
They didn't keep you
in torture for months at least.
No, they didn't. It's interesting, the theater world. Sometimes these things happen so quickly. I remember the first big job I had was a European tour of Greece, and I auditioned on Friday. They offered me the role that night. They gave me the contract and asked me to leave for Germany on Monday. And I didn't know what I was doing at the time, and so luckily I bumped it till Wednesday, but that all happened in 5 days. So 3 weeks for me was a luxury.
Now you come to Chicago, and this is your Chicago debut. What an opportunity to be with a major company like Chicago Shakespeare and such a high-profile production. You were playing the part of D'Artagnan. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your role in the show and obviously this is a classic tale and people are familiar with the Three Musketeers, but what are you doing as a part of the story?
I think this particular show is focusing on D'Artagnan's journey into manhood, into realizing what the world is all about. And so he starts off with all the excitement and big ideas about what he wants to be and about what love is and honor and glory and what the world is. And he journeys to Paris and he finds he starts living life, I guess you could say. Without giving the end away, he learns about each of those things, love, honor, friendship, even about what a father-son relationship is about. And I think it's a great show because it's so universal that so many people go through that same journey, and yet there's still hope at the end, and there's still a great message in this one. So I just add as much energy as I can every night, and I look at every character and every person I meet in the show through wide eyes, and I'm learning along the way. So I guess you could say that's what I bring.
So it's kind of a journey and a coming-of-age story, I guess, not unlike another part that you played, Pippin.
It so much reminds me of Pippin, and I really enjoy that, too. It's absolutely another journey into manhood.
That was a part that I played many years ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, yeah.
So we have that in common. You know, I wanted to touch a little bit about your background because I know you are what we commonly call in the theater world a triple threat as a singer, actor, and dancer. You certainly had the opportunity to show all of those skills in The Three Musketeers. How, you know, in musical theater, traditionally we have the people coming out and singing a praise song, then the dancers come on and they do a little dance and the actors take over. You have to really do all three now to be a successful musical theater performer. Can you talk a little bit about that and what your what has prepared you to take on that kind of career?
Sure. Triple threat, I appreciate that label. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a dancer, but I feel like one thing I do well is move well, and I pick up, and I learn quickly. And I think that's what's really helped me just throughout this career is learning on the job and not saying, oh, I can't do that, saying, okay, let me try. Because when I've done that, I've ended up doing things I never thought I would be able to do. And in Tarzan, I was doing macacos, which is basically a backflip. And I could barely touch my toes before we started. Learned sign language for another show here. I'm doing sword fighting. So it's, I think, putting my trust in the people that are directing me and just really trying my best. And that's the best advice I could give someone. And I think that's what's really helped me in my journey.
So has it been a lot of on-the-job training with some of these elements?
So much. Because, you know, I went to college to be a doctor.
Wow.
And I happened to major in music. And so I didn't get the same training that all these other musical theater people had gotten. But I did get the music and the vocal training, which has been so helpful. So everything else has been, once I get the job, I work with good or not so good directors, but mainly really good creative people. And they have been so generous in their time with me. And I just have fun up there.
So how did you go from doctor to singer, actor, dancer, gymnast, athlete extraordinaire?
Who knows? I think it's a journey a lot of people take in college. You go in with ideas, just a lot like the show, big ideas of what you want to be and what the world is. And I think that what I wanted to do was help people and interact with people. And as I was a music major and really explored what that was all about and how much I enjoyed it and the success I was having. And a friend convinced me to move to New York for a year. That was really the biggest thing. And I thought, okay, just a year. I'm not going to stay any longer than a year. And I don't really want to live the life of a performer. I don't want to live in New York. But things started to happen and things started to go really well. And I thought, well, I'm meeting so many fantastic people that I never would have met as a doctor and going so many different places that I never would have. So maybe this is where I'm supposed to put that energy. And I sort of finally resigned myself. Okay, I'll do this. I really enjoy this. And I think this is where I'm supposed to be.
So now you made your Broadway debut, if I'm not mistaken, in Big River?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was the production that used sign language and as well as musical, the traditional musical theater.
Yes.
And then you went from that into doing Tarzan. And
with my next Broadway show, yes. There were some other things in between.
Some regional theater.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you also understudied Tarzan for Walt Disney.
Yes.
What was that experience like? And
well, it was another new show. So I got to see the composer, who was Phil Collins, who was a great, very personable guy, and the original director and choreographer, they were all in the room just like this production. It was on a very big scale because, again, they had big ideas of what they wanted this to be. And so we took probably 5 months, including rehearsal and previews, to get ready for opening night, which you don't usually do. Usually take it out of town. But they really wanted to spend the time, and so I learned a lot from that experience, and also I've been an understudy before, so you're always ready. And one thing that I've noticed that I in myself is that I can't wait to be out there and doing it. I'm not scared about going on for an understudy. Put me out there, even if I'm not ready. And because, I don't know, I guess it's just something in me. And that's what I learned also in Big River. I was a standby in that show. So I wasn't even in the ensemble. I just waited off stage. And it almost killed me.
Isn't that frustrating, never knowing exactly if you might be going on?
I think it's, for me, it was more frustrating thinking I may never go on. But with Tarzan, since it ran longer than Big River did, everybody had the opportunity to go on for everything they understudied. So it wasn't so bad. And it's kind of exciting not knowing what the show's going to be like every night. If you're going to be in your track, or are you going to be doing the lead or whatever you understudy?
Well, you talked about working with different creative people and the things that you learn from them, and you certainly have a great opportunity here working with people like the director David H. Bell, who is certainly one of the most respected and versatile talents in Chicago. What has the experience working on The Three Musketeers been like? Developing an original show, so forth.
The creative team is so supportive, and they love this project, each one of them. And it was so evident from day one. And also as we got Peter and Paul, as they came into town, you could tell that this was a little different than a lot of the projects they'd worked on. So for those creative people to love something so much and to see it realized and see the joy in their eyes and see the frustration when it's not quite what they want, that also propels you to want to give them everything that you can. And David, it's so important to have a director at the helm who has vision, who also has humility and has the energy that needs to propel things. And he has all of those things. It's so refreshing. So I just couldn't be happier with the people that are working on this project.
Let's talk about some of the people that are involved in the show. Certainly another up-and-coming talent is the composer, George Stiles, who contributed to Mary Poppins and Honk, which won the Olivier Award over The Lion King.
That's right.
What kind of a sound can we expect in the score? Is it traditional Broadway? Is it more pop? Is it more rock? What would you describe it?
It's none of those things, and a combination of all of them, I would say. It's not pop music, for sure, and it's not your traditional Broadway music. It's the exciting parts of both of those, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. And they did an earlier version of this out in San Jose, and they had it was orchestrated a certain way because they had 30 instruments, maybe. They had tons of musicians, and we don't have that here, so they went for a different sound as well, which was more of a colloquial sounds that might come out of that era. And it really adds a different flavor, and it may be a little different than George's typical music as well with the orchestrations. But they're soaring melodies, they're very... As for the lyricists, very clever lyrics, and it's. I remember listening to the soundtrack. In fact, that's what hooked me for this show. I read the script, but it was really the music that initially grabbed me and thought, "Oh wow, I can't wait to sing this stuff. I can't wait to be a part of this."
What's the biggest challenge of it for you?
Well, it's. If you come and see the show, you'll see I run around a lot. I am constantly – I don't exit with a stroll. I don't enter with a stroll. Everything is full blast, and so I'm soaked by the end of the show. Mm. So keeping my wig on is a big challenge. But also just this sits in a different part of my voice, and so also making sure that I'm able to get the sounds out that George wants. has been a good challenge for me because as a tenor, you can tend to just kind of live up in the sky and mm-hmm. that does your money notes and those are fun. But what really makes you versatile is having everything in between. And this show has been really good for me and challenging in that way.
Hmm. So where do you get your energy from to be able to do two performances in one day like you're doing today when we're speaking?
Well, I eat a lot of trail mix whenever I get off stage. For me, it's just getting into the mind of D'Artagnan, and that feeds the energy. And so it comes naturally that way. And I'd like to think I still have some of that in me and the way I look at the world. So I just tap into that and just go full force.
Hmm. And what is it like performing in this particular space?
It's the first time I've worked with a thrust stage, especially this much of a thrust mm-hmm. stage. So the audience is right there, and we're entering and exiting through the audience. And so sometimes you're knocking them with your cloak, or so it's very intimate in that way. And also, because you're out in the middle, you're also hearing what the audience is hearing, which is a little different than just a proscenium stage. Because then you're either getting just what's in the monitors or whatever bounces back from the house. Mm-hmm. So this is a really neat experience also because you're actually in the thick of it with the audience experiencing exactly what they're experiencing.
And I personally know that I think Chicago Shakespeare is one of the most beautiful theaters we have in Chicago. Mm. And we're overlooking Navy Pier with the beautiful lights, and it's a real experience to be here, and it's always a treat for me to visit here. So let's talk about what has been special or rewarding for you about working on this.
Creating something new is so rewarding. Having a child, I'd say at that level, but this is something that you've put your blood, sweat, and tears into, and you've seen the journey, and you know the heartache of cutting something that you loved, or the joy of finally getting something to work. And I think that we felt some of that a couple days ago. We finally felt the audience was with us, and we knew that there was something special about this show in the rehearsal hall, but we didn't have the feedback. And when we brought it in, we weren't quite getting what we were hoping. So when you finally get that, it just makes you feel great. And it also stretches you as a performer and as an actor. And it doesn't allow you to rely on what has been done. You have to create it anew. You have nothing else to base it on except your own experiences and what you bring to it. So that's kind of nice. It doesn't limit you. And you can sit there also and talk to the person who created that lyric mm. and say, what were you thinking when you wrote that? Oh my gosh, that helps so much. Thank you. You wouldn't be able to do that for, you know, Bernstein or people who aren't here or even around anymore. So this is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Creating something new, and how much changes have been made during this process here?
Quite a few. I mean, the basic structure is there, but we've taken out some big chunks, scenes, numbers. We've rearranged some things. We've added some new scenes. So probably more than any other original show that I've worked on. And David Bell was also telling us, before he made the announcement of what we were changing, he said he was really excited that this creative team and this company was looking forward to the challenge of not just fixing what we had, but trying to make it the best it could be. And so they're taking a risk. And I think it's really begun to pay off.
And I don't want to jinx this, but I understand that there is hope that the show will have a life beyond Chicago Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that?
I believe there is definitely a production set up in Boston at North Shore Music Theater. So that's a definite. I'm not sure how many of us will be able to go. I think most of the creative team, or all the creative team, will be a part of that. And there's always the hope to bring it to New York. Mm-hmm. My idea in taking this job was, okay, what if it doesn't go outside of Chicago at all? Is it worth it? And for me, this material and the company and these creative team, it was worth it for me. So it's exciting to know that it will live beyond Chicago. And there's so many things that factor into whether it makes it to New York or where it goes on tour or whatnot. So if it never did go past even Boston, I'm so glad it was created and time was spent on it. But certainly we're hopeful that it will do much more than that.
Mm-hmm. I know that you've had quite a variety of experience in the past in musical theater and opera. There's kind of a divide between classical music and with it, traditional opera and traditional musical theater. Where do you kind of see yourself there?
Well, initially I thought I would just get jobs in opera. I'm sorry, musical theater, because I looked so young. And I was a tenor, and my voice won't fully develop until my 30s. But surprisingly, I was getting about equal amount of jobs in musical theater and opera. And I always had friends and colleagues say, you have to choose. You have to choose one or the other to have a meaningful career in one or the other. And I don't think you have to choose as much anymore. I think that the lines are blurring. More so than they were even 10 years ago. The new work that's being put out, people that are writing operas, people that are writing musical theater. And there's a demand for people who sing well. And I think if you sing well, you can do anything. Anything from classic rock to opera. And that's what I learned in college, because I was getting my, I would say, classical training in the schoolroom. And then I was singing in an a cappella group. And so I was singing, you know, oldies and top 40 hits and anything in between. And I had to marry the two. I had to figure out how to make it work. And it did. So I'm pursuing anybody that will hire me at this point and projects that looked interesting. Now I have a little more chance to choose. But, you know, I'm still young in my career, I feel like, and I'm still eager to find out more of what's out there.
Do you consider yourself an actor who sings, a singer who acts? Does it really matter? Where does it come from your heart?
Well, music is what brought me into it. And I think initially what makes me stand out, if I had to choose between doing a scene first and singing, I would probably sing first. And I think it's important to have confidence in yourself. And so I've really had to get over thinking, I'm a singer, I'm okay at acting, and I'm not that great at dancing. Well, I had to tell myself, you know, you can't reinforce that. You just have to just experiment and grow and hopefully learn along the way. So, hopefully, those three things will begin to be at the same level. I don't know if I'll ever be a great dancer, and that's okay with me, but it's really a goal of mine to be considered a great actor as well as a great singer.
And how much preparation did you have on the fighting and the sword fights?
Well, we started the first day of rehearsal, so I guess that was 5 weeks, four or five weeks. And then we started with previews.
And so, who is the fight choreographer in the show?
Kevin Asselin. And he's been doing a great job. He's in the show as well. He's got a great fight scene as the Duke. He really made himself look good, which is great. It's so exciting to watch. And it's real. He says, this is why you parry, because in a real fight, you would want to do this. So it's not just for show. It all makes sense. And I think that's why it looks so good.
And being so close to the audience as you are here, you've really got to know what you're doing and be prepared. And
absolutely.
Isn't it a bit like dance, as some people have told me?
Yes. Yes. It's a lot of balance, and it's a lot of being aware of your body and your limbs in particular, as well as your legs. So absolutely.
Well, as we are recording this, we're getting ready for the big gala opening, which we will all be here for on Wednesday night. And by the time that this will air, of course, the show will have opened, and hopefully it will be a resounding success for you. But beyond Three Musketeers, what are your hopes and ambitions? Do you hope to return to Chicago? Well, obviously, you would like to be starring in a major role in New York, but what are your main dreams and ambitions?
I would love to work in Chicago again. I think it's a great city, and I think there's a lot of great theater here. And certainly I'd love to continue to work in New York. But one of the things I do love about this job is you get to travel and see different places and things. So that's definitely high on my list. So marrying that with life and future wife and family and apartments and, you know, that all has to be decided. But I just want to keep making good art, I would say, and sharing it. I don't want to hoard it. I think that's what I'm here for, is to share it.
Well, and you're certainly in a magnificent city to be sharing and creating art. So I wish you the very best with the Three Musketeers, and we're all looking forward to it. I would like to say a personal thank you as well to Catherine Brandt for coordinating our interview and for the wonderful work that she does on PR for Chicago Shakespeare. This is a wonderful company, and we encourage people in the Chicago area to support it. So with that, my name is Joe Stead, and thank you so much for joining us here on Talk Theater in Chicago, and thanks to my special guest, Kevin Massey.
My pleasure.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another elated episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago news podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of January 8th, 2007. Emerald City Theater Company, which is Chicago's largest professional theater devoted entirely to families, will be presenting a new pared-down version of Seussical the Musical for its younger audiences. The show, which is based on Dr. Seuss's most beloved characters from more than a dozen of his early classics, will be performed starting on January 20th through March at the Apollo Theater in Chicago. What's really nice about the show is that Emerald City's production will be coinciding with the national celebration of the Cat in the Hat 50th birthday that will be happening on March 2nd of this year. Emerald City has decided to launch a Celebrate Reading 2007 Literacy Initiative that will be in honor of the Cat in the Hat's 50th birthday. Now, the celebration will culminate at 2:36 on Friday, March 2nd. That's when the Emerald City will host more than 400 kids at the Apollo Theater who will participate in the national read aloud of the Cat in the Hat book that will be followed by a free performance of Seussical the Musical. For more information, visit us over at Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. Glenn Berger's comic tragedy, The Wooden Breeks, will be receiving its Chicago premiere at the Looking Glass Theater. The Wooden Breeks, which is Scottish for breeches, making wooden breeks vernacular for wooden pants, is really talking about a coffin. The show, which is drenched in humor, heartache, and hopeful idealism, boldly celebrates the joy of storytelling. It revels in the awe of love, and as a Looking Glass staple, uses the acrobatic language to create some of the funniest and most soulful characters that you've ever seen in years. The show, written by Glenn Berger of the Annex Theater in Seattle, will be opening on the 24th of this month at the Water Tower Waterworks Theater, which is where the Looking Glass is located. For more information on The Wooden Breeks, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. Well, the Neo-Futurists have come up with a very interesting show that I think all of you may or may not want to see. Their latest primetime production called You Asked For It, which is written and directed by founder Greg Allen, will be opening on Saturday, January 27th at the Neo-Futurarium. The show, which is inspired by conceptual artists, takes a look at what America most and least wants to see in a play. If you head on over to the website, you will see a short question and answer session with director Greg Allen about his latest work. The show, You Asked For It, which opens on January 27th, already has tickets on sale. And if you like the sound of a couple of Russian conceptual artists conceiving what America most and least wants to see, then this show is definitely for you. The League of Chicago Theaters has announced a new theater campaign. The Theater Sampler Tour is a new experience here in Chicago where you can sample a one-time-only performance and then meet the artist of the production. Not only this, you get to travel around in a trolley between productions, and who wouldn't love that? Spaces for the Theater Sampler Tour are limited, so you do have to reserve your tickets early. And the first Theater Sampler Tour will kick off on January 27th with Tennessee Williams' classic, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. That, of course, is being done by the Hypocrites. Well, thank you very much for listening to this elated episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from All's Well That Ends Well, Act 1, Scene 1. Keep thy friend under thy own life's key. Well, thank you very much for listening to the News Podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode, ready to stick in your ears. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
You are listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago Review Podcast. The Three Musketeers. Directed and choreographed by David H. Bell. Music by George Stiles. Lyrics by Paul Lee. And book by Peter Rabbi. Now playing at Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Review by Tom Williams. Chicago Shakespeare Theater, guided by creative producer Rick Boynton and director David H. Bell, has completed a new epic musical that soars as an artistic achievement of the first order. 2 years in development, with a score by George Stiles, lyrics by Paul Lee, and book by Peter Rabbi, The Three Musketeers is a magnificent, visually stunning, melodic musical that thoroughly entertains. Containing a rich balance of humor, bravado, romance, and chivalry, Andre Dumas' 1844 novel comes to life in an action-packed musical adaptation that works on all levels. From the versatile sets by Tom Burich, the excellent period-perfect costumes by Marion Verheyen, with wigs and makeup designs by Melissa Veal, The Three Musketeers transports us back to Paris in the 17th century. Peopled by larger-than-life characters that speak in witty poetry, exude charm, and live life aggressively, The Three Musketeers sings well and energetically tells the story of D'Artagnan, played by Kevin Massey, the young swordsman who arrives in Paris to join the king's musketeers. He quickly challenges the three inseparables, Athos, played by Juan Cherian, Aramis, played by Aaron Ramey, and Porthos, played by Stephen Geoffrey Ross, to a duel, but he ends up helping the three fight with the cardinal's henchmen, thus winning the loyalty of the three. The story is a coming-of-age tale of D'Artagnan and his adventures in royal affairs of the French king, played by Terry Hamilton, his queen, played by Joanna Mackenzie Miller, and the evil cardinal, played by Jeffrey Baumgartner. D'Artagnan, played with warmth, charm, and sung wonderfully by Kevin Massey, wins us with his bravado, innocence, and pure romantic spirit. He falls for Constance, played by Abby Mueller, in terrific voice, and becomes embroiled in court intrigue with the villainous Milady, played by Blythe Wilson, who almost steals the show with her strong acting and stunning vocals. D'Artagnan's escapades, including several breathtaking sword-fighting scenes, plays out richly in song. Stiles' score and the witty, often funny lyrics by Lee capture the light-hearted mood of chivalry and romanticism of the period. Fine harmonies and melodic anthems capture the atmosphere of the time, and compelling romantic ballads soar in this memorable score. The women, Milady, and Abby Mueller's Constance gets the best songs. Any Day from Mueller, and Wilson's Gentlemen Are Moving, while the two ladies' duet, Beyond the Falls, is soaring and climactic. Kevin Massey and Abby Mueller produced Romantic Sparks with their duets, Doing Very Well Without You, and the marvelous Who Could Have Dreamed of You. With show-stopping numbers like Count Me In and A Good Old-Fashioned War, together with segues like Paris by Night, the musical is a complete epic that engages and carries its story in an eye-popping, sweepingly romantic journey. This is a show that begs to be seen. It contains strong voices, charm to spare, and nicely developed characters. The score and lyrics are Broadway caliber. See the spectacular now before it becomes a smash on Broadway. It relocates to Boston in spring. Kudos to Chicago Shakespeare Theater for developing this gem. 2007 is off to a fine start. I give this a highly recommended rating. The Three Musketeers, directed and choreographed by David H. Bell at Chicago Shakespeare Theater, located in downtown Chicago at Navy Pier. Running time, 2 hours and 45 minutes with intermission, now through February 18th. For more information or tickets, please call 312-595-5600.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. We would like to thank Kevin Massey for giving us the honor of interviewing him this week. I would like to thank Joe Stead and Mark Meyer. And also, I would like to thank you, our audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode, ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.